This week we have experienced a certain humiliation, I think, as a nation, as the inquiry into the action of a certain group of SAS soldiers in Afghanistan came to light, and our government, the heads of the military, were forced to make amends for that, to acknowledge the wrong that had occurred. And the first step of at least apologizing and making that attempt to offer recompense to those families in Afghanistan that were affected by the action of our soldiers. Justice is one of those things that beats so strongly in our lives, in our hearts. We have this profound sense of justice, and we long that justice will be done in our world. We long that God will do justice. Of course, we can be afraid at the same measure that we don't want ourselves to be punished. We want God's justice to be swift and immediate, but we also say, well, but for other people, not for us, because there is this fear that can perpetuate once we realize our own sinfulness and our own unworthiness. But the ultimate objective of justice is simply to put the world in balance again, to put the world at rights. And that is God's ultimate responsibility, and that's what God thankfully does so well. This year we have been on this pilgrimage with the Gospel of Matthew. We've walked through the public ministry of Jesus, and on this Sunday we arrive at the very final scene in the public ministry. As we turn the page into Matthew 26, we discover Jesus and the disciples preparing for the Last Supper. So this is the final scene, the final event. And it presents to us this scene of Jesus returning in all his glory, of Jesus being there at the final scene and gathering all the nations, all of the peoples before him. And there is this sense of the separation from on right and left, some to eternal blessing, some to the curse that is their own, of their own making. We sometimes call this scene the Last Judgment, but as we read through it more carefully, we realize that this is not about the judgment, because that judgment has already happened. The two groups of people, those on the right and those on the left, have already made the decision within the course of their lives. The judgment happens about whether we recognize the presence of Jesus, whether we act within the world, when we act within the people that we meet and encounter with justice, with mercy, with compassion, or with neglect. Whether we fail or whether we succeed to recognize and to be faithful to God's call and God's commission upon us. So this is about the sentencing. This is about the indictment of what is the consequence of all of those decisions that have already unfolded over the course of the life. What we do now, today, is the judgment that will one day be passed when the not yet of the return of Jesus occurs. In the gloomy night, it's not easy to discern the difference between the same or similar grey-brown hues of sheep and goats. But shepherds had to make that distinction and had to make that separation, because goats weren't nearly as hardy as their sheep folk, and so that the goats would have to be more protected against any of the cold night or the weather. And so shepherds would have to make that discernment, and it wasn't necessarily all that easy. But we've seen that distinction already in the Gospel of Matthew. We saw that at the final there will be that discernment between the weeds and the wheat. There will be the great catch of fish, and there will be that discernment you have to make between the edible and inedible. And more recently, just a couple of weeks ago, we saw the difference between the wise and the unwise maidens gathered at the wedding. Sometimes it's not easy to be able to make that discernment and see that distinction. Jesus came to announce this breaking in of the kingdom of God, this good news that he would be there for the lost sheep, first of the house of Israel, but then slowly across the pages of Matthew's gospel, we've seen that begin to open up to other people as well. Others were also invited into that experience and that encounter. And Matthew's gospel will conclude with the great announcement that we, as the followers of Jesus, are invited to bring this good news and this announcement into all the world, into all nations, and all peoples are invited to be made disciples of this presence that we call the Great Commission. So just as Jesus, throughout the course of his life, has responded to the needs that he's seen before him with mercy and compassion and justice and love, so also we're invited into that same experience to bring that same gift. We're told that the blessings that Jesus has prepared, or that God has prepared for all peoples, have been prepared since the foundation of the world. That's God's purpose. That's God's intention, that we would be faithful, that we would be caught up in that great mystery, that we would be so loved by God that we would naturally share that love with others, and then at the end of our lives come into blessing, come into that experience, come into that fullness of life. And then we're told that those who aren't able to see the presence of Jesus in others will go into a curse, not prepared since the foundation of the world, and certainly not prepared for us. It's prepared, what are we told, for the devil and his angels. They're not prepared for us, but prepared for others. But if we, through our own choices, are so limited and so unable to see that presence, then by that judgment that we make upon ourselves, we will be sentenced in this way at the end. Because we know, again, the two bookmarks of the Gospel of Matthew, that when Jesus is born, the angels announce that he will be the Emmanuel. God is with us. At the conclusion of the Great Commission, he sends us forth, but he makes that promise, I will be with you, because he is Emmanuel. He is God, is with us. I will be with you always, yes, until the end of time. And so he is among us. He is with his people. He is present among us. And it's with eyes to see. It's both groups, those who were able to see the presence of Jesus in others and those who weren't able to discern that presence, who weren't able to see the presence of Jesus. It's in our eyes that this transformation that happens, that we're converted in that gift of a heart that is changed by the seeing of eyes that are changed and transformed through the love of God. That separation brings the consequence. That separation is the result not of God's original purpose, not of God's original plan, but of our own choice. And that's the decision that we have to face as we come to the end of this year, that we're always being invited into life, but God will always allow us to make a choice that is not about life, that is about limitation, and that is about restriction. And so as we come to the conclusion of this liturgical year and this bizarre and strange year that we hope we will never have to repeat again, it's helpful for us to examine ourselves, to prepare now for that future, not yet. So the first question is about those who are hungry. Have I fed the hungry? Have I been generous in giving of my gifts? But have I also given of myself financially and by offering myself to the lonely and the heartbroken by offering the food of friendship and care? What about the thirsty? Have I given a drink of affirmation and compassion to those who have become dry and arid through a sense of failure or worthlessness? Have I provided a home for those who are searching for a place of safety and protection? Do I recognize my own need for the same? Have I ever stripped someone naked by gossip or slander? Is there someone that I need to clothe in warm and compassionate love? Is there someone I know who is locked in a prison of doubt or addiction? How can I call someone into the joy of freedom or unlock an old hurt through the gift of forgiveness? We've been deeply concerned with those who are sick during the time of the pandemic. But in our continuing isolation, is there someone that I can reach out to offer of friendship? Vatican II taught that the kingdom of God is already present among us in mystery. We are able each day to make a choice to see Jesus already present and nurture that choice by human dignity, community, and freedom. Each time that we open ourselves to Jesus in the least of these and respond with the values of the kingdom, we allow the kingdom to break into our world just that little bit more until the Lord returns and brings the full flowering of the kingdom to birth around us.